Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Chris Jakubowski from the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors with us this morning. Chris, it's good to have you back. It's been way too long since
you've
been in.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Yes, it has.
Been a very busy time with the budget being taken care of last week. And we'll get into the budget as we go along this morning. But I would think every year, once that gets taken care of, you kind of have to have a sigh of relief that, although the budget is a year-round thing, but at least the setting of the tax rate in everything has to be a relief to get that taken care of.
Oh, it is. It's a culmination of an awful lot of work, and I got to give staff an incredible amount of credit for what they do. It's not an easy task. Just number one, dealing with all of the numbers that are coming in and where they go and trying to estimate what the state is going to do, and especially when the General Assembly's in session, not knowing, you know, what changes might be made to the governor's budget when he proposes it. So there's an awful lot. It's really a moving target and a living document at that point. And then you couple that with seven board members who get their first look at the county administrator's budget back in January, February.
Yeah.
And then we start tearing into it and coming up with our own ideas. And from that point in February, then we see the school board budget. And then from that point until the beginning of April, so basically a good 6 weeks we have, we take a budget that was proposed by the county administrator, the school board ask that comes in, and we craft a budget to then finally vote on in early April. So it's a sigh of relief, but really the hard work is the county staff that has to not only do that, but also deal with all of us at the same time.
And you got the county staff at all levels, but boy, they are really top notch.
Oh, they really. I really don't think that our residents understand just how professional, how top notch, as you say, how good we have it. Because some of these positions, you can just see the level of dedication that people have, the professionalism that they have, and you know, our county is better off for that. You know, they're the day-to-day people. We as elected officials come in, you know, we bloviate, we make lots of statements, make lots of direction, demand, and then they're the ones that get it done, and they really do a good job.
They do. I mean, they implement it, and I watch them all with all the localities. They're all good, but boy, Spotsylvania is they're a cut above. They really are good.
Yeah, they really are.
The big thing you dealt with, and we'll deal with this in the first segment, and then move on. The solar facility that was approved, a 5-2 vote, is controversial, and as well debated. I don't know, controversial. A 5-2 vote is pretty overwhelming.
Well, and especially on this board, I don't think we have 5-2 votes very often.
It's usually 4-3.
Right. I think that the vote for chairman and vice chairman this year was the first in about 4 years or so where it was actually unanimous.
I wondered if I had the right channel when it happened.
That was something to see. So I don't think it will happen very often in the future. I hope it does. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with having split votes. There's nothing wrong with being the lone vote against things. Mm-hmm. I do that, you know, because if you believe in something, that's what you should do. But I think having a 5-2 vote on an issue that was this big, I think really shows that, number one, and I'll speak for myself, even though I know that other board members have done a lot of this too, is that we spend an awful lot of time educating ourselves, listening, tracking down information, trying to get to the truth. Because one of the things that, as an elected official, you are bombarded from all sides with all kinds of information. And especially now with the internet and Google and Bing, everybody can be a researcher. Everybody can come up with different articles and different information. And you take all of that, and I took all of that, and I looked at nearly every single piece that came in to find out what the truth is. because the last thing that I wanted to do as an elected official is vote for something that would be harmful or detrimental for our county. It's that simple. So I make sure I take the time, an awful lot of time, listening to people, talking to people, and then spend time on my own tracking down what has been said to get to the actual truth. And, you know, you're never going to make everybody happy. It just is the way of the world. But, you know, if you can at least stand behind what you've done and point out this is the reason why I did it, then I would hope that people would understand that and at least respect that, you know, you didn't just willy-nilly vote for something because it was a Tuesday. You voted for it because you believe that you're making the right decision for the county.
Well, and I think in having watched a lot of the both on the Planning Commission side and then when it came to the board, the two people that I was really impressed with, who I thought presented themselves well, Chris Kayla did just a really good job. He's a well-respected local realtor and follows the trends, and he had some really specific numbers. And then the consultant who came in with a Virginia Tech study, which again was nobody in Virginia Tech's got anything. You know, they're doing a study and not looking at Spotsylvania. It was a very scientific study.
Right. And what that was taking a look at the solar panels, because one of the things that was brought up was cadmium in the panels, but it's cadmium telluride, which is a whole different thing than cadmium. But they were taking a look to see if they were safe, because as the solar company was proposing, was to come in with a certain percentage of these panels that had the element in them. And would that be safe to our groundwater, to the land, to, you know, residents that live around it, to the wildlife? And so what the consultant did is took a look at the stack, and literally I had the cliff notes for it, and it was a good 4 or 5 inches thick of all the studies that have been done, because these panels are not only just used here, they're an American company, number one. They're based out of Ohio. Which I do think that they'd be better off in Virginia, because, you know, who wants to be in Ohio when you can be in Virginia?
Right.
So we're going to lobby them hard to be here. But also, these panels are used throughout Europe, and we know how Europe is with their taking the climate into consideration, taking, you know, what they – recycling and things like that. They really are on top of it. So – they looked at all the studies coming out of there. For example, one of the things is in Berlin and their waterworks, their water service. They actually have these solar panels sitting on top of their reservoirs. So you would think if these were dangerous, if they leached any type of chemical that would be harmful, the last place you would put them is on top of your water supply. How foolish would that be?
Right, yeah.
But yet it's been done and there's no negative effects. So that's what the consultant was looking at, and the Virginia Tech study took a look at a bunch of these, and then there was a study, I do believe, that touched on the tornado that tore through out in California through solar panels, and took a look at, well, what happened. And it was deemed safe. These panels, to actually get the chemicals and toxins out of them, you actually have to crush them. Down to you know, smithereens.
Yeah.
And then you have to pour a certain level of acid on it to actually pull it out and make it toxic. And so there's nothing in nature that does that.
Well, I know this was a tough vote for, I mean, everybody looked at it, like you said, there was a lot of research involved. And I think anytime you get a 5-2 vote on something, that the proponents of it made their case.
Well, they did, and you also mentioned Chris Kayla, and what Chris Kayla did, he's an appraiser, you know, started as a real estate person, had a company, and does appraisals now, and he is well known around the area, been here for 40 years, well respected, and basically took a look at other localities and other places that have solar farms, granted not as large as this one will be, but he took a look at that. And tried to delve into, well, what is the real impact that has on surrounding real estate prices? Because, again, it's somebody's home. It's where they live. You don't want to, you know, do anything that would reduce their value and negatively impact them either. So he did exhaustive research on that. But I will say one thing I do find interesting is that a lot of people that I had heard from said, vote for the smallest one. Here's all the negative stuff. You know, it's the toxins, the harm to the wildlife, the real estate values are going to plummet. But that's okay. But do it over there in that little one.
Yeah.
But yet people still live there. So it's okay for those people over there to be impacted and the toxins to be over there. But you just don't do the big one. So either it is a bad project or it isn't. Because if you do a small piece of a bad project, which a lot of people were saying was a bad project, but just do it a little bit, to me makes no sense. Either you don't put anybody in that position whatsoever, and I don't care if it's, you know, $1 million house all the way down to, you know, the you know, entry level houses that are out there. That's somebody's house, that's somebody's investment, that is where they live, and we do our best to make sure that is not denigrated in any way.
Well, and you wonder what a project like this now puts Spotsylvania maybe in line for some other bigger projects.
Well, absolutely. You know, you hear this a lot where people wish that Spotsylvania looked like it was 50 years ago. Ever since I-95 was put in, Spotsylvania County was never going to stay
right
as is. We are located, especially, you know, 50 miles between the two capitals. We're a locality that has a great workforce. We have so many positive components that we're going to grow. I mean, there's no stopping. And actually, quite honestly, you want to grow. You don't want to be a community that is losing people, because then you know crime rates go up, property values drop, education levels drop. You don't want that. But then again, you also don't want to grow at such a pace that you can't keep up with the services that you need. So it's a real balancing act, but I think that something like this will be very positive for the county. I think it will bring in tax revenue. You know, one of the things too is the growth pressures that we will have. This will take that portion of the county and keep it from being developed with housing. You heard a lot of people during this whole thing say, well, geez, if you've built houses, you get more tax revenue out of it. But you get more services needed. You get more traffic. You need more infrastructure.
You may need another school.
Exactly.
Or two.
And out in that area, yeah, those roads are not ready for any type of residential development at all. So, you know, you can't just keep throwing out arguments of, well, we could do this, we could do that. Well, a shopping center brings in more revenue than this. Well, according to our code, a setback from commercial to residential is 50 feet. This setback we have at 425 feet from any residence. So, you know, there's so many positives to it that I think some people are not actually seeing that it is and will be positive.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here this morning. We will continue when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
And now, another exciting episode of Molar Man, brought to you by South Point.
Local news you'll talk about at the bus stop or the office. News Talk 1230. WFVA. News Talk 1230 WFVA. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk,
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here from it's a battlefield district, right? Look that up this morning, and I was pretty sure it was the battlefield district. And the battlefield district is what? It's about 4 mile fork.
It's basically 4 mile fork. It goes down Lansdowne Road a bit, north on Mine Road, takes in most of Lee's Park, Fox Point, Kingswood, that whole area. So it's cut up pretty good, but it's a nice urban district.
The Lidl Center, is that in your district?
It's across the street.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
But that just amazes me that building is so big and you never see it. Even when leaves are off the trees, you have to know where you're looking.
Yes. Really, the only way that you know that it's there, because even the sign is not very big, it's just a little sign there, is the amount of truck traffic that comes out.
Yeah.
Then you know that something's there. But, you know, for the most part, they did a great job of buffering it, and they also dropped it down so that it's below grade because it's so big, but it is, it's a massive building, and it's good tax revenue for the county too. It's roughly $1 million a year that we get in real estate taxes. And remember, we also offered incentives. So once those incentives are up, there'll be more tax revenue coming in from that too. Plus, it's jobs too.
Yeah. Well, I remember when they came, and I remember you were on the show, and we talked about it, and you talked about what a significant get this was. And I really didn't get it until actually I saw it and started to hear about it and how it feeds all the other stores. And it was because it really kind of predated a lot of the Lidl stores around here.
Oh, it did. This is their main distribution center. Yeah. And for a while, we didn't even have a store open, which was kind of frustrating.
It was.
Because,
everybody else had
we have the distribution center, but no store. And well, we had a
the training store over there by
on Route 3.
Yes, because you kept seeing all these other stores open, and right. That one was still all
covered up. Secret. Yes.
Yes.
So it is very positive. But one of the things that did do too is it really put Spotsy on the map as willing to work with the state, because that was a governor's grant. Basically, the governor offers $1 million in incentives, and the county has to pony up the same amount of money without knowing exactly what it is. All we knew is it was an international distribution company, I think is what it was called.
Yeah.
No names, nothing was even given. And, we didn't give the money out. We just said, yes, we will. We committed to doing that. And ever since then, the state has been very favorable towards us and realizes that economic development is really at the top of our list.
Boy, you're taking a chance on that kind of thing too, when it's so unknown. But you had you trusted the state and the people involved there.
Well, right, but we wouldn't actually give them the check until we knew.
You knew, right? Yes,
right. But yeah. we knew that something this large would be beneficial for the county, and would bring in jobs, because that's one of the things too. We can't always have jobs in one certain sector. We need to have a multifaceted job opportunities for our residents, because not everybody's going to be, a doctor or a defense contractor. Yeah. We people will be into manufacturing, people will be into loading in warehouses. But there's nothing wrong with good hard work, and to have companies here that offer multi-levels of opportunities, I think is just good for the county. And I actually ran into a couple of people who work at the Lidl facility, and so it's nice to see that it's actually bearing fruit, and it's beneficial for our residents.
I know a couple of people who do, and they rave about the job, they rave about mm-hmm. the benefits,
yes,
and just say, and even the people that work in the stores,
right,
are thankful to have a job right here.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have to battle 95.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Well, and you wonder, we were talking before about the solar facility. I would think that for the economic development people in the county, that's just that's another thing that you can point to that Spotsylvania has, and for Spotsylvania, hopefully makes economic development efforts fruitful in the end.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think that everything that we do needs to be pointing towards a goal in the future, and for me, that is getting a lot of our residents' jobs back here locally, so that you don't have to spend all that time on 95, which just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, even though they keep pouring more and more money into it. It's never going to get better. It might be less worse, I guess, and that's not even a word, but it's just not going to be good. And so the more that we can do to market ourselves and our county, because Prince William, I think I just read that their chairman up there wants to increase the data center tax.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So, I'm going to send him a thank you note for doing that, because all that you're doing when you're raising those taxes is that you're pushing those companies out of your county. And this year we put into our budget a tax rate on data centers, which we don't have any data centers, but it's a nice nod to people saying, we're here, we're ready. And if you want to come, this is what better place than Spotsylvania County.
Right. I was going to end up because Stafford does, but you're right next to Stafford, and you're there to, can maybe snatch something up.
Well, right. And we can also work in partnership too. Us in the city, and Stafford and King George, Caroline, Orange, Louisa, you know, these are our neighbors. They're not going anywhere. And we need to have a good working relationship. So while I would love to have these companies in Spotsy, if they go to the city, the VA hospital is another one that is has been talked about and is out there. If that goes to the city, I would prefer it to be in the county, obviously. But if it goes to the city, it still helps our region and it helps all of our people. And, you know, people that live in Spotsy will be getting jobs there. So it's not a negative thing. We compete, but I think it's a good nature competition. But I think that we also do cheer each other on when we're successful because it's successful for all of us.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here this morning. We will talk about the budget and some things he got accomplished with the budget this year. When we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA, it's 8:29.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski, our special guest this morning. We started off talking about the budget. One of the things, and you made mention of this last Thursday night when it got passed, oftentimes in Spotsylvania in recent years, the board majority there has shut down any kind of conversation. And I can remember a couple of years ago, the budget was voted on before it was supposed to have been voted on a couple of days later. They'd already settled it and... Right. And it was voted on. There was a lot of discussion this year on the budget and back and forth and kind of negotiations and compromises. And you don't often see that in Spotsylvania.
No, in recent years, it really has been kind of a done deal early on.
Yeah.
And I think this year, you know, there was a lot else that was going on, too. So I think that kind of preoccupied a lot of time, too. But the budget discussions that we had, I really enjoy those because I think that it's helpful for the public also to see that our budget is not one dimensional. There are many facets that go into it and many things that we need to keep in mind. And I keep trying to remind the board because there's a lot of desire to, you know, pay for pay increases for firefighters and sheriff's deputies, which are needed, of course. But, you know, you don't just throw that in at the very last minute and say, well, what if we do this?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you've brought up that really in the scheme of things, that is as big as the county budget is, the board, you're locked into a lot of areas where right. You don't have a lot of say on things.
Right. We almost need to do a budget one-on-one just to explain to the general public what the budget process is all about, and not in a condescending way at all. It's really as an informative way to let them know that out of this 520 some odd million dollar budget, the amount of money that the county actually has that is new that we can actually allocate to different new programs or pay increases or obligations that we currently have is very minimal. This year, it was roughly $8 million, give or take. And a bunch of that money came directly from the state for social services. So it was a mandated, you must pay that for new positions. There's a lot of money that is already obligated to our reserve funds for our bond rating and fiscal stability. We also, when you embark on a three-year pay increase for your county employees, and you're in year three, that's an obligation that you must fulfill, in my opinion. The schools were the same way. They were in year two of their pay increase. And so when you put all of those bills that must be paid, things that you've already obligated yourself to, you really have minimal amounts of money left to do anything new.
With you mentioned the bond rating and as high as it is, I guess that's something you always – especially once you reach the plateau that you kind of reach the top of the mountain, to keep it is something you have to always keep in mind.
Right, and we're pretty close to that plateau. We still have a couple more steps because we have a AAA from one and then a AA plus from the other two. And what was done this year at the board level is we have different financial things that we have done over the past years to make sure that we are doing the right things to show that we are physically stable and responsible, quite honestly. And one of those was to take cash and to pay our capital improvements plan. So you're not constantly borrowing to build things.
Yeah.
And so our utilities budget is completely separate. So this is not part of utilities. But what we have done is set a goal of 5%, and we put in 0.25% new every single year to get to that 5%. This year, we're at 3.75%, and the board voted 6-1. This was one of those votes that I was the lone against it, where they said it's not a shall, it's a goal that we will get to this point at some point. Well, in my opinion, if the county is not in dire straits and we're not in such a position where we must stop doing that payment, we need to have a reason why we do it. When you go to New York, you talk to the bond folks up there and you go through everything that you've been doing. I remember that is one of the things that they highlight, because it is such a strong fiscal position to have.
Yeah.
Where you're paying cash and not constantly going into debt. I mean, just think of yourself at home. You know, if you can buy a refrigerator with cash, it's much better than going into debt to pay for that. Even though sometimes, you know, the no interest 36 months, you know, that's not a bad deal either. But the county doesn't get those.
I was going to say, I don't think I've never heard of that.
For building a school, we get a, you know, 36 month free financing. But the but to make sure that your fiscal guidelines and your fiscal goals are in order, and in my opinion, doing that for no good reason except we could was not a very strong position to have. And so all of those things are components to the budget. But when it comes down to it, we simply don't have an awful lot of money in the county to pay. And the thing that scares me is that our growth rate is only roughly 1%. If our budget is this tight and we can't pay the bills that we're obligating ourselves to, and we only have a growth rate of 1%, what happens when that growth rate increases? That is going to be a really difficult position for a future board to be in. And you think that a 1.4% hike in the tax rate was, you know, the end of the world now. Wait till you get to those things.
Yeah.
Where you must, because if not, then your quality of life really suffers. Your firefighters who you can't pay now, how are you going to be able to pay them then? And your teachers and your police officers and everybody else that works for the county, you will start losing good talent. And that's not to preach doom and gloom that you know this is going to happen. These are the things that we can see that could happen. So why don't we just avoid them?
Right.
Why are we putting ourselves on that path that we can look at and go, that's where we're heading? Why are we doing that to ourselves? It makes no sense when we can correct that a little bit at a time as we get there. But the thing that we need to keep our eye on is spending. It's just that simple. The tax rate, to me, it's so arbitrary, because your assessment goes up, mine goes down, tax rate stays the same, you pay more, I pay less.
Right.
Is that a tax increase? Those arguments are for the federal and state level. But at the local level, we need to keep an eye on spending and how we spend money and what we prioritize our money on, because it's very limited.
I didn't realize that the growth rate was 1%. I would have, yes, just because of what Stafford, and as you go north, it's and you think it's, you look at what's being built around here, and I mean, and you've been one of the, you talk about, you know, the one no vote, you've been the lone no vote on a number of these developments, and when they start getting built, we're going to start seeing some changes.
Right. Well, absolutely. And Mr. Benton has voted no on quite a few of them too. Absolutely. But the problem that you have is that you need to understand where you came from. You need to understand the issues that the county had in the past. You know, I've talked with many, many previous board members and other board members I served with that had that experience and had that insight into what has occurred. And also our neighbors, you know, find out what's going in Stafford. Why King George, what's happening with their water and sewer system? You know, Caroline, the growth pressures that they're having.
Yeah.
The more informed that you are, I think the better decisions you can make.
And you don't have to comment on this, but you talk about dealing with other localities because you see it over and over with certain members on the Spotsylvania board. There's not a lot of working with other localities. You are one that you have made that a priority over the years.
Well, look, you know, you almost look at it as a family. Like I say, our neighbors aren't going anywhere. Stafford's not going to pick up and move. They're always going to be there. So there it makes no sense to fight when you don't need to. You know, we should stand up for our county and make sure that we're not getting the short end of the stick, and they should do the same thing for their residents because that's why they're elected to serve there. But in the end, we need to come together and make sure that we're working for the betterment of our region because, again, a road doesn't stop at the city line or the county line. It continues on, and our residents demand that we work together because I don't think they really care if it's Spotsylvania, Fredericksburg, King George. They just want to make sure that our area is doing well.
Yeah. Now, when you're driving in Lafayette Boulevard, you're not paying attention that you've left. I've now left Spotsylvania. I'm entering the city of Fredericksburg.
No. You pass that sign, and you don't even realize it.
One of the things in the budget, you got something passed this year that you've been trying for a number of years to get through.
Right. It's been, I think, 3 years now trying to get the fee for the concealed carry gun permits reduced. There are state mandated amounts, and I do believe it's $15, and then the county was putting a $35 fee on top of that. So for the past 3 years, I have attempted to get that county part of it eliminated. You can't eliminate the state part because it's a state mandate. But in the past couple years, it hasn't passed, and it passed this year 6-1, and I'm grateful to my fellow board members for passing it, and also grateful that it's an election year because it seems to be a good motivator.
I was going to say to you, because it had come up other years and it always got shot down, but this year, no pun intended,
right.
But this year it didn't. I did. As I was watching it, I thought, well, it's an election year.
Right. And you know, I'll take it where I can get it because I think it's a constitutional right. And for and even the state, I think that it would be beneficial for our state representatives. You know, they like to pass lots of unfunded mandates on us. You know, they will argue, well, that's an unfunded mandate. You know, this is one that I think we can absorb. How about this? You know, you don't pass the big ones, and we'll take the small ones.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can run around telling everybody how you did all these great things in Richmond for us. But this is one that you really should take up because, you know, the constitutional right to bear arms is an individual right, been affirmed by the Supreme Court, and I think that a armed society is a safer society, and especially when you have people that are trained, they're respectful of the weapon that they own, and they understand its power. I think that also you will have lots of people that are looking to do bad things, perhaps thinking twice, because they don't want to break into that house, not knowing if that person is armed, or to attack somebody, you know, on the street or out in public somewhere, just to make sure that you know, people can protect themselves, because it takes a while before the police can get there to help you, and you need to do a lot of that on your own. So the more that we can, the better, and I think the easier we can make it for our residents to exercise that right, the better off we are.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here on News Talk 1230 WFEA. The General Assembly modified or changed at least a little bit that proffer law that went away. Is that going to help? Is that going to help Spotsylvania and Stafford?
The cynical part of me says probably not. You know, they break things and then they come back and they, you know, they fix one part of it and they say, oh, hey, look how we're helping you. You know, don't break it to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, we had a good system here. It could be better. You know, if you wanted to make it better, why don't you come up with a better system than proffers? There needs to be a better way to do it. And don't tell me impact fees are the better way, where every single buy right use that's out there gets a fee attached to it. We need to think of better ways to do the things that we need to do when it comes to infrastructure, school building and roads and whatnot. You know, the state I know is trying when it comes to smart scale, the new way that they're formulating spending tax dollars for roads. You know, we had several in the county that didn't pass that should. It seems to me that they have an awful lot of issues they need to deal with, and the proffer law, for whatever reason, seemed to top the bill a couple years ago. And I'm glad that they're doing something with it, but I would really like to see them come up with a better way to do proffers than the current way proffers are set up. And that doesn't mean eliminate them. It means come up with something better that's helpful for the county.
Yeah.
But I could just on a real practical thing. Since that law went away, since the proffers were taken away, I rarely watch the Planning Commission anymore. There's for any locality around here. It's brought a lot of things to a halt.
Well, and proffers, perhaps in other places around the state, did go off the rails. And you know, I'm not arguing that because I don't know the specifics of any other locality. But, you know, it's one of those things where when you make a law or you make changes to affect a very small percentage of an issue and a problem, and you mess up all of it, that makes no sense to me. Why don't you address the problem that was out there? One of the things I heard that was changed into the proffer law was that all of the proffers have to be directly tied to the impact of the development. So you can't, you know, say to me from a rezoning that goes on, you know, two districts away, well, I'm going to get a stoplight in my district.
Yeah.
Because it has nothing to do with it. And that makes sense. And I don't think that the county does that. But I do know that there are other counties where that was a big problem. And fine. But isolate that issue. Isolate the problem. Fix the problem. You don't throw the whole thing out unless you're going to put in something that's better, which they didn't do. But hopefully in the future they will.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here this morning. We'll wrap it up when we come back. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here this morning. I don't think I've ever told you this. Every time now, I mean, we had a discussion when we were years ago, talking about roads, and you talked about one of the ways to improve traffic around here was just making turn lanes longer in a lot of different areas.
Yes.
Every time I get caught in a situation, I think of you and think, you know, he's right. If this were a little bit longer, there would be less congestion right here.
Right. And that comes from talking with VDOT many, many years ago and asking why every time that they want to improve a section of road, it must be a four-lane median with a bike path road.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like that can't be the one fit that fits everywhere and solves every problem. That doesn't make any sense. And so there's a couple of VDOT folks, and don't get me wrong, there's lots of good in VDOT. It's just a big bureaucracy, and that's just how those operate at that time. But there's a lot of good folks there that I've talked to and tried to come up with a lot of these solutions. They did it. Harrison Road, for example, Harrison and Lafayette intersection. There's a turn lane to go onto Harrison when you're coming out of the city. Well, you're in the county, but you're coming out of the city that direction. That turn lane is going to be improved because they found when they did a study that was a real bottleneck. There's another one in my district on 208 when you're making a left at Ballantrain, the one down that right past Giant.
Yes, I was going to say I know exactly what you're talking about.
And when you're making a left into the development over there, that turn lane backs up too. So there's certain things that we can do, and it doesn't cost a lot of money. A great example of that is Levels Road up to Harrison Road to make a left heading towards the landfill.
Yeah,
that turn lane was improved, and it was doubled or tripled in size. And the nice thing they did is they kept the light much longer.
Yeah.
So you can keep making that movement and keep getting people out of the throughway. And, you know, it's not perfect. It's, you know, eventually you're going to have to widen things. You're going to have to add new roads. But these are small things that we can do to help the problem that we have, as opposed to saying, well, we can't build a four-lane road with a median and a bike path because it costs too much money.
The I guess next up for the there are a number of next up things, but the county's looking for a county administrator. Is a national firm involved, or is that how you do that?
Yeah, we have hired a firm. All the board members have been scheduled to talk to, you know, get that first step, them get a feel for the type of person that we're looking for.
Yeah.
And so that is a process that has begun. It'll take a while. I think the last one took at least 6 months. I think it was almost 8 months or 10 months before or since the time of the retirement announcement of Doug Barnes until Mark Taylor actually was seated. So it's a long process, but I think that we should take our time because it's a big decision, because that's the person that basically does the day-to-day operation and overseeing the county. But we have a great team in place right now. Ed Petrovich is the interim, who was the deputy before, and Mark Cole is there. And there's great support staff. And, you know, the county's fine. It'll run well.
Yeah.
But it will be nice to have some sort of permanency when it comes to a county administrator.
Well, you got the budget. You got the solar situation now off the table for the time being. And I guess you get a little chance to breathe.
Well, it'd be nice to have board meetings that don't last past midnight, you know, and it would be nice to actually go back to a regular schedule of two meetings a month. That's always during the budget you have more, which is understandable, but it's always nice to get that little bit of a break, because the summer is usually a little bit slower, but then budget starts right back up in October with, you know, the budget, the pre-budget meetings, and then you jump right back into it.
Yeah, but the solar meetings that went after 1 a.m. were tough for everybody.
Right. We haven't done that in a long time, but you know, there's a lot that needs to be said and a lot that needs to be heard, and especially when you have you know, the schools coming in and doing a work session with us on the budget. You have the solar stuff going on, and you have other reports that are happening. It takes a lot of time, but happy to do it.
Chris, thank you for coming in. We'll see you soon. Thank you for what you do in Spotsylvania County.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski from the Battlefield District. That's it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening this morning. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.